I'd like to welcome you to the 2011 Asia Pacific LAMS and Learning Design Conference here at Nanyang Technological University. It's a great pleasure for all of us on the LAMS team to be here. We've been working with Daniel Tan and colleagues at NTU for many years now on LAMS, and we've been delighted to see the adoption of LAMS within Singapore at both NTU and at other universities. And I'm very pleased to see so many of you here for the conference today. So thank you for coming along to join us. For those of you who don't know me, James DL, the leader and inventor of LAMS, we've been working on it about 8 years now. And when I reflect on the ideas many years ago we had for a system that would allow teachers to create sequences of activities that students could work through, and where those sequences would involve not just content but also collaborative tasks where students could work in teams or work in groups together. That was one of our key drivers when we started the work on this area of software and as part of this more general field called learning design. But the other driver we had was the idea that when a teacher builds a good set of activities or a good sequence, that this would be shareable with other teachers. And so if I was to build something good, that I could give it to any of you and you could use it in your teaching, or you could take it and adapt it or tweak it to suit your own particular needs. And so this has been one of the other key ideas of the field of learning design, of sort of sharing of good ideas, sharing of good teaching strategies, but not merely as just something written down. I mean, I could write down on a piece of paper, here's what I think would be good to do in your LMS, or here's what you could do in your classroom. But that on its own wouldn't sort of help you to do it immediately, and there would be all sorts of extra work of setting up and getting things ready. Whereas in a learning design system, the idea is that I could give you a file, and that file would be ready to run and to set up and to, run for you the activities for your students to work through. And so it'll be a way of sharing good teaching ideas that could be immediately picked up and adopted and used by other teachers. And so this has been one of the other great dreams or goals of the field of learning design, is sort of sharing good ideas among teachers so that teachers could benefit from each other's good suggestions and apply that to their own work. And so in today's presentations, you'll hear a range of examples of work around the use of LAMS, around learning design, and also more generally in the field of e-learning. And one of the ideas that will come up again and again is the idea of having templates or sequences that are shared that others can use. And so I hope that in this conference, for many of you, it will not be just an interesting theoretical conference, an interesting set of new ideas, but I hope you'll get some practical things you could use in your teaching in the coming weeks or months. You'll get sequences or lesson plans or whatever description you find most useful, things that you could adapt and suit to your teaching and be able to use in a very practical kind of way. So without further ado, I'd like to then introduce our first keynote speaker, my colleague Eva Dabozzi. Eva is from Edith Cowan University in Australia. It's about as far from where I am in Australia as possible. I'm on Sydney at one side, Eva's on the other side. It takes about 5 hours to fly from one city to the other. It's actually easier for me to get to New Zealand, which is another country, in the other direction than it is to visit Eva. But Eva's very kindly joined us, and Eva will be telling us more about her work in a moment, but it's particularly based on developing some learning design sequences using the work of de Bono. I'm sure many of you have heard of de Bono and his ideas about creative thinking. So Eva will be explaining ways of taking some of those more general ideas and bringing that into LAMS in a way that many of you might be able to use then in your own teaching. So if I can, I'll ask Eva to come join us to speak.
Thank you, James. Good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to be here today and to be able to discuss our work. And I'd like to stress that the work that we're doing is in collaboration with lots of people, so it's not just my work, but I have the fortune of explaining to you what it is that we are doing. Can I just also say that I've been on my way from Greece. I joined a collaborative writing symposium in Greece with people from all over the world. And what was really interesting about this symposium was that it was about collaboration and cooperation, especially about interdisciplinary cooperation. And there were lots of people from business schools and schools of engineering, some from education and medicine and so forth. And it's so interesting to see the shift in thinking that we are doing much more interdisciplinary collaboration as well as discipline-specific collaboration. So the work that I'm introducing to you today is actually very nicely suited to the global idea of shifting our thinking from discipline-specific work to interdisciplinary work. Well, let me just check if this works. Perfect. Capturing the current zeitgeist in higher education in the Australasia-Pacific region and elsewhere is not easy. However, certain trends are clearly visible. One example is the shift in teaching and learning modes, which is fueled and infused by technology and the globally accepted need for modified qualification demands of the future workforce. The structural changes and increased heterogeneity in teaching and learning approaches are clear signs of individual and collective demands. They are fueled by a perceived and urgent need to break free from rigid structures of formal teacher-centric education practices. The traditional practices of the past were based on Eurocentric ideas and ideals of fixed and stable and objective knowledge that can easily be passed on from experts to novices, largely through monotonous content-driven lectures. Despite the long-standing tradition of classical knowledge transmission approaches in higher education delivered face-to-face through lecture-style oration in front of large numbers of semi-interested students, demands that higher education institutions produce lifelong learners and ear-ready citizens are slowly but steadily changing pedagogical practices in higher education and elsewhere. The recently released report of the social impact of information and communication technologies by the European Union, coupled with Education Services Australia reports, highlights the need to recognise that the rushed conceptualisation of the ICTisation of people's lives is becoming a fast approaching reality. Unsurprisingly, the increased ICTisation of all aspects of people's lives, from e-government, e-health to e-learning, has contributed to the view that education reform is urgently needed. This is leading to the acceptance of technology-mediated education as the norm rather than the exception. Because in part, so Elrond and Somerville note, individuals who can navigate, comprehend, and utilize new knowledge sources will have a competitive advantage in the 21st century. Here I have the great pleasure of introducing the Du Bonnet-Lamb sequences. I'll provide some background information of how they came about, and more importantly, I outline why they are perceived to be an important milestone in the current paradigmatic shift in higher education, including global efforts moving from student consumer paradigms to a student producer paradigm. Hence, I will begin by briefly outlining what I mean by knowledge-centric and transdisciplinary education. This is followed by an exploration of what I perceive to be the value-added nature of open educational resources. Of which LAMS is a formidable example, where students become producers of deep and integrated knowledge. Next, I discuss the collaborative construction of the Du Bonnet-Lamb sequences and introduce them individually. Finally, I close with a remark on the need for more pedagogical connections and methodological boundary crossings as we engage in the development of a new higher education learning paradigm, where student producers are the norm rather than the exception. Following Bennett and Bennett, I define knowledge as the potential or actual ability to take effective action. As we are moving into the new higher education learning and teaching paradigm, there is a general acceptance that deep learning experiences need to be enabled, where students can develop and extend their abilities to think, discuss, reflect, and solve problems collaboratively. Students need access to rich resources that are mirroring real-life context, in the sense that they are often partial, contradictory, and based on assumptions and beliefs. Knowledge-centric learning design highlights the importance of the multiplicity of resources and ways of knowing. This realization demands that teachers refrain from easy compartmentalization and bite-sized provisions of information to be digested in unison. Under the careful supervision of teachers, knowledge building is messy, tentative, and demands persistence and resilience of students and teachers. Rather than reducing the multiplicity of perspectives, views, and voices to a simple consumable version pre-digested by the teacher, knowledge-centric and transdisciplinary learning design is connected with providing problems, ideas, and issues to be discussed, explored, and if possible solved in collaboration using various resources and solution paths. The new higher education learning and teaching paradigm demands the interdisciplinary knowledge and action or action planning. Using knowledge mobilization activities, such as the ones that I describe in a minute, are leading to knowledge exchange among students as a signifier of deep learning engagement. The knowledge in practice model introduced here makes apparent that knowledge is always partial, incomplete. Moreover, the interrelationship between discipline-specific technical knowledge and generic transdisciplinary knowledge, introduction of new understandings and ideas, is powerfully depicted. As this figure, taken from Tress and Frey, shows, the production of technical knowledge can be quite simple, whereas the production of deep and integrated knowledge requires that the producer draws on a multitude of experiences and information, which represents an interplay between disciplinary and generic knowledge. Surpassing surface and shallow knowledge stages requires the use of multidisciplinary and generic knowledge in a new and unfamiliar situation. Building on Bennett and Bennett's conceptualization of the three levels of knowledge in action, surface, shallow, and deep, I argue that deep knowledge creations demand that learners' effortful engagement with information as they create new knowledge products or outputs in the form of discussion items or arguments leading to position taking based on the evidence at hand. As you can see in this table, there is a clear relationship between Bennett and Bennett's conceptualization and Bloom's traditional conceptualization. As a teacher educator, searching for ways to engage my students in deep thinking and knowledge-centric activities on the basis for theory-guided problem solving, I introduce students in my educational psychology and social studies classes to the elements of Edward de Bono's CORT toolkit. CORT stands for Cognitive Research Trust, but can also be regarded as being short for cortex, where all thinking takes place in the brain. My teacher education students' introduction to the de Bono CORT lesson consisted of the following five attention-directing ideas or thinking skills activities, which are a selection of the 10 CORT lessons described by de Bono. Plus, minus, and interesting is pushing students gently to think outside the box. The consider all factors approach makes students think carefully about options and their possibilities and constraints. Consequences and sequences make students think about an action and its possible short, medium, or long-term consequences. Alternatives, possibilities, and choices invite students to think and search for the not so obvious, which is this one. And the last one, which is other people's views, encourages students to think from another person's perspective, which is an important skill in today's globalized world. Thinking is defined by de Bono as the operational skill with which intelligence acts upon experience. Hence, de Bono's ideas seem to provide a natural fit for knowledge-centering activities based on new higher education learning and teaching beliefs, as outlined here. In late 2010, I was invited to the LAMS Lesson Planner Symposium, where we were given the task to populate the newly developed LAMS Planner, an Australian government-funded project, with some learning sequences. It seemed at the time that the de Bono Court Toolkit provided an ideal framework for this work, as it adhered to the principles of simplicity and generability. We agreed that the short sequences could be used individually or in conjunction with each other to be easily adapted to various discipline contexts, from medicine to engineering, teacher education to school education. The project team crafted the first of the five de Bono LAMS sequences. Using universal instruction design principles for use in lesson LAMS and the LAMS activity planner, the idea behind the design was that interested university lecturers, irrespective of their disciplinary affiliation, and school teachers can gain access to particular learning design sequences and populate them with their own material. In other words, a generic pedagogical structure is provided using a template model. But the content can be adopted, adapted, or created anew. Offering a generic tool for a new student-centric and immersive learning environment, this transdisciplinary approach to learning design makes explicit the interaction between knowledge and skills development. The first of the de Bono's attention-directing ideas is commonly referred to as PMI, or plus, minus, and interesting. The left-hand side of the figure shows an author's view of the complete PMI sequence, and the right-hand side shows the opening page of the student view. The learning activity is based around the principle of developing higher order thinking skills in students and is underpinned by a conversational framework around a given and exchangeable topic, which focuses on the learner's meaning-making process. As students grapple with ideas in the search for plus, minus, and interesting ideas, in the context of a given problem or topic, they are deeply engaged in the act of learning individually and collaboratively through the use of the learning LAMS forum tools for asynchronous discussion. The structure of the LAMS sequences is deliberately kept simple so that it can easily be populated, adapted, or extended to include different features. The generic example used introducing the PMI sequence in the LAMS activity planner is called a fishy affair and asks the question, should we eat less fish to solve the overfishing problem? And if we do, what are the likely consequences for different groups of people, families, fishermen, government? So here is an example for students to grapple with this idea. They can just simply say, well, it is a good idea or it is a bad idea. But what we really want is for the students to go beyond the good and the bad and say, what is interesting about this question? How can we move further and deeper into the thinking? I now introduce all remaining four attention-directing ideas as outlined in the earlier table and provide example questions and topics using teacher education as a context. I use teacher education because that's my field and my discipline, so it's the easiest way for me to exemplify the generic tool. But I'd like to stress that it is not so much about the content but the template tools that I'd like to discuss here. So building on the PMI task, which is easily achievable by all students who apply themselves to think about a given problem or topic, the consider all factors approach invites students to take a stance and to commit to a particular position on a given topic. For example, in an educational psychology, students may be asked the following question. Is child development more a function of maturation or learning? This might be a simple question, but for educational psychology students, it is really apparent that it is both. Now, the question is, how much is it one and how much is it other? And therefore, we invite students to discuss their ideas and come up with a solution that is based on deep thinking rather than just ad hoc yes or no answers. So instead of simply choosing an answer, teacher education students in these examples are invited to think carefully about the options presented to them, needing to understand that a human child's growth and development is influenced by both maturation and learning, and separating these influences is difficult. Nevertheless, as a trainee teacher, it is vital to engage in deep thinking, debate, and discussion about the biological and environmental influences of a child's growth and development. At the same time, consider all factors approach can easily be applied to other disciplines, as all of them present variations of ideas, theories, and practices. The attention directing idea 3 is consequence and sequel. As we move deeper into the De Bono lesson, thinking lessons, we encounter that developing reflective skills and thinking deeply about possible consequences of action is important for higher learning. The consequence and sequel approach is a simple but effective tool enabling the learning and practicing of this process skill. As schools and higher education institutions aspire to prepare graduates who are competitive and dynamic, knowledge-based workers, it is important to get students to acquire higher-order thinking skills and knowledge management skills. To this end, teacher education students in a geography module were asked the following question. What are possible short-term, medium-term, and long-term effects of teaching primary school children using didactic teaching approaches that Mexico City is the capital of Mexico and the capital of the Philippines is Manila? So that will be the traditional approach to geography. And what are possible short-term, medium-term, and long-term effects of teaching primary school children using inquiry-based teaching approaches to go and find out what they need or like to know about the capital city of a country they may need or like to visit in the future? Tapping into the culture wars in education between the proponents of direct teaching approaches and inquiry-based approaches to teaching and learning is a productive way of encouraging trainee teachers to reflect on possible consequences of making their teaching and learning beliefs public when hunting for a teaching job in the future. As with other De Bono court tools, the focus here is not so much on the content, but more so on the generic learning design, as the consequence and sequence, LAMS sequence, can be populated with any content that requires student reflection. The second last of the developed LAMS sequences is called the APC approach, or Alternatives, Possibilities, and Choices. Continuing on the deep thinking journey, De Bono has developed a thinking tool that inspires students to think outside the box. The Alternatives, Possibilities, and Choices approach invites students to be imaginative and creative as they look for multiple ways of approaching a problem or issue. The goal of this approach is to persist and search for the not-so-obvious solution. So, for example, I thought that it would be really nice for our teacher education students, many of which are really comfortable with teacher-directed teaching and learning, to think about informal and non-formal teaching. And for this, I thought that it would be nice for our teacher education students to investigate the feasibility of the Sugata Mirtas, the hole in the wall approach. And the questions that I thought that we could ask them would be, given the increased need for a highly trained workforce, able and willing to engage in lifelong learning, should autodidactics and informal learning as an extension and augmentation of formal learning and teaching be getting more prominence and traction in school education settings? And then to top it off with an even harder question, I thought we could ask, what other innovative solutions could be implemented that follow the principles but not the practices of the Hole in the Wall project? In the search for possible ways of answering the two questions, teachers would need to be deeply creative in finding alternative ways of enabling individual and collective learning to happen, and that is not teacher-centric, building on the ideas of self-organizing systems and knowledge networks. Now I move on to the last of the five De Bono attention-directing ideas that we've developed so far. And the last one is the other people's views, and most probably it's one of my favorite. The last of the current developed De Bono LAMP sequences is an exploration tool designed to broaden students' perspectives. The capacity of putting oneself into the shoes of another person is particularly important in our globalized and culturally diverse world. Basing our decisions on personal, social, and cultural experiences and assuming behaviors of others based on our own cultural conventions is no longer sufficient. Hence, the other people's views approach is ideal in triggering alternative responses by the way of perspective changing. For example, in a cultures education class, teacher education students could be invited to think about intercultural interaction and culture-specific communication patterns utilizing a role-play pedagogy. I know that James really likes that one too. Students would be introduced to the following questions. Prepare three scenario cards describing variations in culture-specific behavior patterns that are considered typical behaviors for people of various cultural backgrounds, without revealing the nationality and gender of the cultural actor. Next, post your notes on the LAMPS forum and ask your peers to guess the cultural background or nationality and gender of the person in the act, remembering that what is common practice in one part of the world can be offensive in another. Engaging deeply with the other people's views lesson, teacher education students learn about cultural faux pas and the need to pay attention to other people's actions and interrogating personal views, beliefs, values, and prior to judging and conclusions. Putting into practice the various core tools and approaches introduced here. Therefore, it is argued that the De Bono LAMP sequence series can be perceived as a thinking and reflection amplifier. Rich learning opportunities have been created by De Bono for students to engage in deep thinking and collaborative reflection, and some of these have now been translated into LAMPS sequences. The De Bono LAMPS thinking tools can be used individually or in combination with each other by lecturers from various academic disciplines. The examples presented here thought to illustrate the gradual increase in complexity of thinking required by students as they engage with the De Bono LAMP sequences. Whereas it is anticipated that most students would be able to participate with ease in a plus-minus an interesting activity, which is the first of the introduced LAMP sequences, the other people's views approach, which is the last of the introduced LAMP sequence in this series, demands more developed thinking skills and more efforts from students as they grapple deeply with deeply held beliefs and values. The depth of active participation in meaning-making is what distinguishes shallow and surface approaches to learning from deep approaches to learning. The examples introduced have used the context of teacher education. However, the aim was to show the generic nature of the de Bono-Lamb sequences. LAMBS, as a formidable open education resource, may assist in open source learning design to become part of the current and future discourse of education. As the value-added nature of the currently crafted learning sequences are explored and used in a number of disciplinary contexts with diverse student groups, their evaluation and adoption is encouraged. Although it is not easy to capture the current zeitgeist in education, there is an unmistakable trend, one of which is the ICTization of our life worlds. Technology-mediated and enhanced learning and teaching in higher education is becoming the norm rather than the exception, and with it, a new paradigm is emerging. The new higher education paradigm is superseding students who are passive consumers of information presented using lecture-style pedagogy of the past. The traditional transmission education style of the past is unable to develop graduates ready for 21st century workplaces. The future workforce will need to be skilled communicators and cultural actors, as well as deep thinkers. In the hope that open education resources popularity among higher education lecturers will increase as the value-added nature of learning design is better understood, the effortful engagement that the de Bono-Lamb sequences demand of students will assist them in developing habits of deep thinking. At least, this is my argument. The next step is to monitor and document the adoption of such learning objects by higher education lecturers, by you, learning about your disciplinary backgrounds, your preferences, your successes, and your obstacles. Thank you.
And just a reminder that the sequences that Eva was talking about, those are freely available, and any of you can actually go and get those de Bono sequences and adapt them to your topic that you teach, and you could use them tomorrow. I mean, they're ready to use, aren't they?